Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baltimore Sports Talk with your hosts Rob McQuay and Jeff Coles, also featuring Philly Jeff Dye. Now, get your game on.
All right, folks, welcome in. It is Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Rob McQuay, your host. Jeff Coles is my co-host in Mount Vernon, Ohio. Jeff, how's it going?
Oh, absolutely terrific. Couldn't be better.
Jeff, we got...
I don't care if it's 27 degrees. We got baseball, and we got a win on our opening day.
I was just going to say, there's not a cloud in the sky here, but it is 36 degrees, so it's cold here in April. It was, of course, we had weather to deal with yesterday with the Baltimore Orioles opening day game. It's supposed to start at 3 o'clock. They went into a rain delay at 3 o'clock for about an hour and 45 minutes. You know, Jeff, the ironic thing about that is it didn't rain for like about an hour during that rain delay. And then it started to rain. And then, of course, they got the game started and then they had two innings and they had to go into another hour plus rain delay. Another irony to that, Jeff, is that if they had scheduled the game at 7, which in the springtime is a normal game time start for the Orioles, there would have been no rain delays. They would have just played and that would have been it, because they started the second pause at 6:30. After that second rain delay, it was 6:30 when they restarted the game.
Did I hear correctly that the rain actually stopped when they put the tarp out, and then it started again when they took the tarp off?
I don't know. I didn't hear that, and unfortunately, I was not able to watch the game because between work and rehearsals. Now, I was able to listen to the first two innings driving down to my rehearsal in Annapolis, but I didn't get to see any of the game, so I don't know the answer to that. But that wouldn't surprise me around here anyway. let's talk about, first of all, Jeff, we'll get back to the Orioles, because there's plenty of baseball to talk about, but real briefly, let's just, let's hit some of the headlines. And of course we would be remiss here on Tuesday, April the 5th, if we didn't at least recap that stunning finish in the NCAA men's basketball championship game between Villanova and North Carolina. You watch that game at all?
I didn't watch the game, but I know that very few great things. Actually, very few good things happened in Philadelphia since the signing of the Constitution.
Hello,
Jeff. Are you out there, Philly Jeff?
Yeah. No, he's not. He's not able to listen because I think he's teaching class this morning. So he'll have to hear it.
Gainfully employed, unlike us.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Well, a stunner, and Villanova has been playing very good basketball all through the tournament, and last night was no exception. And the kid Chris Jenkins hitting the 3-point shot at the buzzer.
Did you see how they got in? How they blew away Oklahoma, who was the number two seed.
Right.
I mean, I kind of thought Carolina was going to win this, but I kind of thought Villanova, I don't know. after seeing what they did and the fact that they shot like 40% in one game in the tournament, and the rest of the way, I think they shot like over 58%.
Right. Well, look, I think North Carolina thought they were going to win it with almost no seconds left. I don't understand how North Carolina didn't do a better job defending Villanova coming down the court and allowing Jenkins to you know, be at the top of the key and hit that three-point shot. I don't quite understand it, but
this is the era of the three. I mean, this really is. And I mean, I know the three's been around for a while, but I've never seen the three be so dominant in a college and pro season in basketball as it is this year. I don't know how you feel about that. But, several games have won by a three-pointer at the last minute. Golden State, who turns the ball over, has dominated with their three-point shot, has apparently offset anything that Golden State may have a weakness, that three has offset it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would agree with you, except for the fact that a lot of times during the year, the Maryland Terrapins couldn't buy a three-point shot. So,
I'd say it's dominating in Maryland, but it seems that that this has been one of the keys to winning,
right?
In a bigger way this year than any other year that I've seen,
right. Well, I just, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this because I do want to talk baseball. But I'm not sure, what is the strategy, Jeff? What's the strategy when you're North Carolina, you hit a shot and the game is tied 74-74 with 4.1 seconds left.
Uh-huh.
And you allow Villanova, I guess you can't foul. I guess that's part of it. You can't foul because maybe you could. With 4 seconds left, I guess you could foul, send them to the line.
Yeah.
That's 2 points. Then you get the ball.
Yeah.
Because
the only thing is you're going to stop these guys from hitting three-pointers because apparently the basket's as big as a swimming pool.
That's right.
I don't know what happened there, but Jay Wright had the coach of Villanova had these guys run this play a bunch of times where they give it to the other fellow. I can't think of his name, but the fact is, they gave it to Chris, what's his face?
Jenkins, but the guy you're
Jenkins,
talking about, I think, he did bring the ball down, and then he just dished it back to Jenkins, who was behind the line.
Yeah, that was it. He was usually that guy shoots it, and he dished it to Jenkins instead, which that was probably part of what helped to give him that open shot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
I guess
she had some interesting things to say about Jenkins too.
That's right. That's right. Well, Chris Jenkins is from the Maryland area. He's from Upper Marlboro, Maryland, which most folks will know is a little bit north and east of D.C., southeast of Baltimore.
Where is he from? From Upper Marlboro, you said?
Yes, that's right, Upper Marlboro. Yeah.
Okay. I remember hearing about Upper Marlboro.
Yeah, and he went to Gonzaga High School in D.C., and he was an All-Metro D.C. player by the Washington Post and led his high school team. And he's also here's the other one, Jeff, that's kind of crazy. He is the adopted brother of, I forget the guy's name now, Nate. I think it's Nate. Can't remember his last name. I'll have to look that up again, but who plays for North Carolina. So he was playing against his adopted brother
a plane
in yesterday's championship game.
His adopted brother.
That's right.
Wow. I mean, there's some ramifications there. Let's face it. Now, mom probably liked the real brother best, right?
From what I heard, also his birth parents were also at the game last
wow.
night. So he had it all going on there. Kind of
wow.
crazy. Yeah.
Well, I'm just kidding, of course. About the who liked better. I was just going back to the Smothers Brothers, but
yeah, right.
I've always liked you best.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
When you are a parent and you're sitting there watching the two teams that your boys are on, and it's there's a couple, like 1 point or 2 point or whatever lead, and you're in the final seconds. I mean, I don't know
right.
if you're
yeah.
more nervous or just happy to see that or, whatever.
Right. It's crazy. Yeah, congratulations to the Villanova Wildcats for being the 2016 national champs of NCAA basketball. But North Carolina was right there. Either of those teams could have won. It probably could have gone into overtime. Although, again, I'm not sure if you're the Roy Williams, if you're the NC coach, why don't you have these guys foul Villanova there with 4 seconds, send them to the line, to make one or two, then you get the ball back, and you come down and make the three,
I think you're going to have to do that. If you got less than a three-point lead or a three-point lead or less, you're going to have to foul somebody to stop them from hitting those long half-court buckets because it seems like now they can do that in their sleep.
Yeah. 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 All right. One other thing before we get on to baseball, in about just a little more than a half an hour, the Baltimore Ravens.
You got a pet.
Yeah. The Baltimore Ravens will have their final pre-draft pre-draft presser. Say that one three times fast.
Pre-draft
presser.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you said a
free. So they'll have their press conference to talk about what they're looking to do for the draft, which is coming up in what? My goodness, 2-3 weeks.
That reminds me. I think I'm feeling a draft. Oh, never mind. So now it comes down to what are the Ravens going for, and that's what we talk about every year, and we usually wind up realizing that Ozzy is going to go for the best athlete in the draft.
Yeah, yes, that has been his MO. That's been the history. I'm just scanning some of the stuff on the Ravens website right now, but like you said, here it is. The first question is what would it take to trade the number six pick? Now, are the Ravens thinking about trading out of that six overall pick? Ozzie Newsome, Ozzie Newsome isn't one to put all his cards on the table through conversations with the media. So reporters will likely have to read between the lines. And, who knows? I guess they'll ask that to him in this upcoming press conference. We'll see what he has to say.
He may not have to go all the way to number one. He could go number three or number four and probably pick up a guy like Joey Bosa. from Ohio State.
Yeah, but I think they're talking about moving back, not moving up. Mm-hmm. I think that question is what's it going to take for another team to trade
to give
with the Ravens for the number six pick, and that means they'd move back and, you know, pick up additional draft picks for that number six pick overall. I don't know.
Let's see. I think that Kaepernick's not going to Denver. I heard about that, or that hasn't been finalized. That's another thing, you know, just
right.
You know, I was one of the things I thought was going to happen. So it's possible that, Denver might be one of those teams that looks to move up in the draft. Well, they might get the Ravens some of those good players.
Yeah, that's not a bad thought. That's not a bad thought at all, because there are some quarterbacks, up there. But I don't know. Do you think that the Broncos are going to be able to draft a top quarterback and have him and put him right in? I'm not sure.
Very ready-made packages out there. You know, very few turnkey quarterbacks that come out of college.
And we've seen in the past when teams have tried to do that, most of the time, not always, but most of the time, that doesn't work out too well for the team or the quarterback. We'll see what happens. But I guess Kaepernick, he was a little disappointed when he learned that RG3 had taken the job at Cleveland. So I guess he decided to just stay in San Francisco.
Yeah, and I mean I don't know why he would. Yeah.
I don't know why he
turned down the well, I think he was going to take a pay cut if he went to the Broncos.
Yeah, maybe so.
And he should have probably gotten incentives or something.
Right. All right. Well, that will all be interesting to see how it all plays out on draft day or draft weekend, whatever that is, because it's not really a day. We'll get a round or two in the first day, and then it'll span over the whole weekend. So that should be interesting. All right. The Baltimore Orioles are sitting in first place. And, of course, it's just day three of the regular season and only one game for the Orioles. That's right. Let's talk about that game yesterday a bit, Jeff. Some really good signs, some things that you and I have talked about, over the last month or so through spring training. Chris Tillman looked terrific. Unfortunately, his day was cut short because of the weather. And, that is unfortunate. He got the first, if I remember this correctly, he got the first batter out of the game on a pop-up, I believe it was. And then he proceeded to strike out the next five batters, five consecutive strikeouts in his two innings that he worked. He really was on. He had command of the fastball, which of course allowed his off-speed breaking stuff to work very effectively. And he looked like an ace yesterday in two innings.
That's exactly what I was going through my mind. He was actually he was an ace in name only, but today or yesterday he really was an ace out there.
Now, the thing that I wanted to see, you know, obviously we weren't able to see it because of the weather issue. Wanted to see if he could keep that pace up for, another three or four innings. Because a lot in the past, last year particularly, we would see this out of Tillman and some of the other starters, where they would throw three, four really strong innings, and then come the fifth inning, just fall apart and you know, lose it, has to be pulled, send the bullpen in, and by that time, the Orioles invariably were in a hole. So, unfortunately, we didn't get to see how he would have handled another 3 to 4 innings in last night's game. While he pitched well in those first two innings, the jury is still out. So, go ahead.
And I would agree with you normally under normal circumstances, except that Tillman had the problem with the hip flexor in the spring.
Right.
And came along lately. And to me, I think it was a blessing that he only got two innings this time, that maybe he'll only throw four innings next time, and he's still building up. Whereas the other pitchers, if it was anyone else besides Tillman out there, I'd want to see more. I'd want to see more innings. I'm kind of glad that, because his fastball was in the mid-90s. It was moving around. You know, ball was excellent. His command, his control, everything. And I know it was only two innings, but now hopefully he'll do four innings in this next outing or more. And we'll see him build up.
Well, and obviously Buck has to do a little bit of juggling now with the whole pitching rotation, all that stuff, because he brought in Tyler Wilson to pitch after the second rain delay. So Wilson was your projected. I think it was Wilson, wasn't it? I mean, I should look at the box score here. I think it was Wilson. It was either Wilson or Mike Wright, but I think it was Wilson. And I think Wilson was the projected fifth starter. So essentially, he kind of pitched, you know, his spot last night. And I think because Tillman only pitched two innings, we may see him up sooner rather than later in terms of, you know, the rotation. The one thing I will say, Jeff, about Tillman's outing, that is different than last year. And you know, we stated it earlier, that's that he had five consecutive strikeouts. So it wasn't that he pitched two scoreless innings, but was getting, you know, giving up base hits, and, you know, the players were hitting the ball maybe right at people or whatever. They couldn't either catch up to it or figure out what he was throwing. Yeah. So that in itself was a good sign, and hopefully that bodes well, you know, as the season progresses.
Absolutely.
So Joey Rickard, Mark Trumbo, in their Oriole debuts, they contributed, and that was good to see. Matt Wieters coming back off of, you know, everything that he's had, has the game-winning hit. Obviously, did a decent job at catcher. And Manny had a hit in there. Jones had a double that probably on any other day would have gone out of the park. Wind and the cold yesterday really kept the ball down. In fact, I don't think there were any home runs in yesterday's game, I believe. So it was a good game. Good game. The Orioles, three runs, 10 hits. They had 10 hits, so that's nice. The Twins, two runs, 7 hits. So, you know, that's not bad from the pitching, from the pitching staff. Kept them to 7 hits in 9 innings, so that was nice.
Yeah, and I have a message for Buck. Please put Joey Rickard at the top of the lineup. You know,
well,
give him a chance to beat the leadoff hitter.
Yeah, I think that's coming, but I think Buck was smart. That might have pressed things a little bit too much if you've got a kid making his I'm guessing it's his major league debut, but definitely his Orioles debut as the leadoff hitter. That might just be a little too scary. I think it was better for him to put him in the 9 spot and let him, you know, kind of get a feel for things and and he played really well. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we don't see him in the leadoff spot, if not tomorrow, coming up here very, 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 very soon. And I would really love to see that, because I'd like to get Manny out of that leadoff spot. Manny needs to bat two or three. You know, I think
Manny
ideally,
would make a good two spot hitter. I really do.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he does well anywhere you put him. But
I think ideally what we would be looking at is Rickard one, Manny two, Adam Jones three, Chris Davis four, Trumbo five, probably Alvarez six. And then you've got, what do you got? You got JJ and Scope and Wieters there to bring up the bottom three. And that's probably probably what that lineup looks like more times than not. So
Rickard one, Manny two, and everyone else fourth. Yeah.
That's right. All right, so some good things. We'll see tomorrow night. Gallardo makes his Oriole debut. That'll be interesting to watch. Kevin Gausman is supposedly on track to be back in the middle of the month. Let's hope that that's all going well, because we need to get him back in there. What do you make of Sun Kim, who declined going to the minor leagues when the Orioles wanted to send him down? He evidently has something in his contract that allows him to veto that. He stays on the team, and you know that he got booed at the park yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, and I think basically he's in a really bad position. I honestly believe that he needs to go to AAA and work out some things. And I think working him out at the major league level is going to hurt him more than it's going to help him.
I agree. He obviously doesn't. But, you know, let's talk about that for a second. That's kind of a bad contract that the Orioles came up with. I'm not sure how you include that, him having an option to decline being assigned to the minor leagues.
Yeah, and not only that, it doesn't help him that he's only had a couple of hits in the spring, and and there was so much, there was so much fanfare. Well, actually, it wasn't a whole lot of fanfare when he was signed, because it was because of when it happened. But but still, I mean, he came along with a lot of nice labels on him, you know, and we all want to see him do well. But I don't know if going from Korea to major leagues is gonna.
Right.
I don't know how close AAA is to Korea, being what he did before.
I'm not sure if any of us know that, and but you're right. I mean, I guess we all can see that. But he's, you know, I guess he's at a point where he feels like he's done his minor league work in Korea, He wants to be on the major league team, but I don't know what Buck's going to do with him. So
yeah, and I think I think maybe there's some pride there, and you know, I don't pretend to know this guy. I mean, you know, I'm not sure what's driving it, but you know, it can't look very good to the fans. And
No. All right, we got a minute left, and the Orioles. The Orioles play again tomorrow night, 7:05, at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. And by the way, Jeff, you can get that on Minnesota TV or radio. I don't imagine you get Minnesota or Baltimore.
WC.
Broadcast.
Oh, I get that on the AM. It skips over here, 8500 or
8. So you'll get it on the radio.
If it's in the evening, I can get it on the radio. But I can also I get all the games. I can listen to games on the
MLB.
On the, I'll grab the internet and put it on. So
well, good.
Yeah,
good. All right, so it'll be Yovani Gallardo facing Kyle Gibson, and that should be interesting. Yeah. In fact, you know, I don't think we did this last week, but, you know, Scott Van Pelt of ESPN was talking with Tim Kurkjian about the Orioles signing Yovani Gallardo. And,
you know, Tim,
something like this.
I'm glad you mentioned the Baltimore Orioles and what they've been doing. Sometimes the low-hanging fruit is the piece of fruit you have to pick. What do you make of Yovani Gallardo, Jordan, that staff?
He's really going to help this guy.
Yeah.
He's a very good pitcher, and they really needed him. And I vowed to be better this year. I'm going to turn 60 this year. And as soon as they signed Gallardo on the Orioles, I knew I was dead. So we're in for another one. What if they had the old pitching coach on their team, the guy who rocked back and forth? What if he went to the mound to take Gallardo out? What would that be like?
Leo Mazzoni? What if they traded for Antonio Bastardo? What if they could get a guy to come out of retirement? What if they could get Hippolito Pichardo? You can have Pichardo, Bastardo, Gallardo, and Mazzoni. Did it happen?
It was great. First ball, the Ravens quarterback, what's his name?
Joe Flacco? I love you, Tim. I'm sorry. One of these years, I swear to God, I'm going to stop doing it, but it doesn't look like anytime soon. Thank you.
That's just classic.
And the first name that came to mind,
yeah.
Former Orioles relief pitcher, Marcelino Lopez.
Lopez, yeah. That's right, Lopez and Tippy Martinez. Tippy. Oh, that's good stuff, Jeff. That is very good stuff. And evidently, you know, Scott Van Pelt does this to Tim Kurkjian every week. He has him on the radio every week. And at the end, he always throws in some kind of ball, Maurice. And that's hilarious. But all right, so Yovani Gallardo pitches tomorrow night for the Baltimore Orioles. And, it should be really nice, hon. All right, Jeff. That's it. Any final thoughts from you?
Well, just real quick, Miguel Gonzalez signed a minor league deal with the White Sox.
Yeah, that's right. So good luck, Biggie. Good luck. We'll see if he's able to make it back to the major leagues. I don't know. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it. Jeff, have a good week, and we'll talk again next week. We'll see how the Orioles are set up in a week after they've had a few games to play, and we'll see how Tillman's doing. All right, folks, that'll do it for this edition of Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live, blogtalkradio.com network. Sorry, I'm Rob McQuay for Jeff Coles and the absent Philly Jeff. We'll get him back one of these days. Have a great week, folks, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. Join us again next week as we explore Baltimore sports.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Company Computer Guy.
Mr. Company Computer Guy.
You are the ruler of the RAM, the guru of the gigabyte, the monster of the memory.
Show me the way.
When we screw up the boot up, you are there. Without you, computers would megabyte.
Megabyte.
The countless hours we spend surfing the internet and accidentally stumbling upon porn sites would instead be spent working.
Working for the man.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Company Computer Guy. For it's you who keeps our logons logging and our hard drives hard.
You've got to be this more time.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.